Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Hey, it's Lori Fraser, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finn.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Because
what do they have there?
Well, they have all sorts of treatments, but in this particular case, they do have treatments for borderline personalities, including extreme narcissism.
Extreme narcissism. I find that fascinating. You know what I mean? People that have that.
Yes.
Because would you say like Kim Jong-il? That's a great example.
Probably, yeah. People who, well, now we should explain our guest today,
Lori Fraser. Lori Fraser.
Her topic is My Father, the Narcissist.
Right, she brings forth the topic, My Father, the Narcissist.
And she's going to talk about the good and the bad of narcissism. It's not much like many things. It's not all bad.
Right.
Certainly not all
good.
And
Lori Fraser, let me tell you, Hannes, she's one of those consummate storytellers where every word is important. And she just comes across, you know, just one of the strongest storytellers.
She actually walks through the streets with cards.
She's one
of you say hello when she gets the right card. She goes, hello.
Storytellers in Los
Angeles.
Next
card. How are you?
When I think of Lori Fraser, I think like Dylan Brody. I think like Annabelle Gurwitch.
Uh-huh.
I think like Sandra Ting Lo. I think, do you know what I mean? Like names of when these storytellers start talking, you're going to listen. Bill Ratner. You're
right.
Going to listen. You're not going to turn these people off.
The Ratmaster.
The Ratmaster. I love that guy, don't you?
He's the voice of Storyworthy.
He is the voice of Storyworthy. His story
and
was just
also,
on last week.
Oh, God. Which one did he play in G.I. Joe?
Flint.
That's right.
But we're not here to talk about Bill Ratner.
No, I want to talk about
narcissist.
Bill Ratner is such
my
a narcissist.
Father, narcissist.
He sent me a text and said, talk about me during Lori Fraser's show. That's what he did.
Actually, my father was a narcissist as well, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, not like full-blown
crazy. Well, let's get
crazy.
Into some of the definitions. I think I know what a narcissist is, but many people do not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
Do you have some definitions?
All right. There are something called the seven deadly sins of narcissism, right?
Yeah.
Shamelessness.
Right.
Shame. It's the feeling that lurks beneath all unhealthy narcissism. It's the inability to process shame in healthy ways.
Hmm.
That's okay. A tough one. I'm not sure even.
I don't know. I feel this. I feel this might be me.
Shamelessness?
Just the processing things incorrectly. Go on.
Okay. I like this one. Magical thinking.
Oh, that's me all over.
Narcissists see themselves as perfect, using distortion and illusion known as magical thinking. Like they think they're always right.
Oh, okay. That's not me then. I can do – okay.
Okay,
this
here,
is interesting. Yeah.
Here, how about this one? Arrogance. A narcissist who is feeling deflated may reinflate by diminishing, debasing, or degrading somebody else.
Oh, that totally sounds like me.
You kind of do it to me you do it in a comical way.
Well, the thing is that I can get away with a lot of things I say on the air and off the air because it's always funny.
Right.
But if, you know, and then
it's
like
not
somebody
always
else,
funny. I just want to be clear there, but
you bitch.
I'm just saying.
I hate you.
How about this one? Go ahead.
No, it's just like, but usually I, you know, if it's, yeah, on the rare occasion it's not funny,
mm-hmm.
People look at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
But I can say shit that's much worse than what I just got that bad reaction from. But if it's funny, I totally get away with it.
You get away with it. You get away with a lot. That's true,
yeah.
Hannes. How about this one? Envy. A narcissist may secure a sense of superiority in the face of another person's ability by using contempt to minimize the other person. Envy.
I've done that.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought envy was more like I'm envious of your house.
Right. But therefore, I'm going to – so you have this big, beautiful house, and I say, wow, the bills and the upkeep must be terrible. And, you know, if you ever get a rat problem, you ever get a mold problem in this house, they're going to tear the whole thing down. I'm finding the negative of your fantastic house.
I see.
And that's what I will point out and harp on.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Well, that's interesting.
You look, sometimes... Beautiful house, and you say, wow, well, obviously it's not easy to clean a house this big.
That's kind of freaking me out because my friend Peter recently just bought this huge house.
Yeah.
And one of my first thoughts was the heating and the cooling.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that.
Yeah.
Would you say that I'm jealous of his house? I mean, I guess I'm jealous.
Of course you're jealous of his house. You want a house.
No, I know. But, I mean, I guess I'm jealous. But I don't... I'm also okay where I'm at, too. You know what I mean? Like, where I'm living isn't
going to judge how I feel. If you're obsessed with his house every moment that you're in your apartment, then you're obviously in trouble.
I see.
But, I mean, it's natural to look at somebody who has a house which is, like, you'd like a house like this.
Right.
And be like... You know, people think jealousy. See, I think that's a word that people think is always negative. I don't think that's always negative. Like, isn't it healthy to be jealous of something so that you want it? It's like, you have a newer car than me. I am jealous of your car. So the healthy response is, what can I do to get that car or that house? The negative, the bad response, of course, is, I'm going to burn your house to the ground so we're equal.
That is very
negative.
But if
you do it in a funny way, you can totally get away with it.
Okay,
funny arson always let off.
Here's another trait of narcissism: entitlement. Narcissists hold unreasonable expectations of particularly favorable treatment and automatic compliance because they consider themselves special.
See, it's weird. Okay, I have a problem with entitlement, but I don't think – maybe I'm not a narcissist, but I feel like there's been enough problems that have been gone over in this podcast, certainly in my life and my family, that I always had like a weird sense of entitlement. Like, haven't I suffered enough?
Well, that's kind of your shtick, man.
But
that's like your shtick.
Yeah, but it's not it's a shtick because it's true.
Yeah.
That is the way I think. I've been fighting it for years. Haven't I suffered enough? Shouldn't I just get something? And it's completely unhealthy.
It's completely unhealthy, because you're not proactive
but,
in
but
so
I'm
many ways.
But I'm trying to think if it's narcissism, but it's not – I don't think it falls into the narcissism. It's probably some other weird category.
It's just complaining. No, it's just complaining.
Oh, I mean, I'm good at
you're
that.
Not being proactive, so how could you – what are you talking about?
Haven't I suffered enough?
I mean, but if you're not proactive in trying to make something happen, how could anything happen?
Well, look, if you're going to bring logic into it, I don't see how we discuss mental disorders.
Well, but I do like when people do that with social media. They degrade Twitter, degrade whatever, because they don't have any followers, because they're not even trying. So then they say it's not important. So you can say that all you want.
No, you're exactly right. That's just like the house thing.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, you look at somebody in the mansion, you go, well, if you want to just work 35 hours a day so you can have this house and feel good about yourself – is like, yeah, maybe somebody does want to work that hard to have that house.
Right.
And if you, you know, but you say, well, you're obviously wasting your time because
you
don't have the house.
So in other words, you have 30,000 Twitter followers. What are you, on Twitter all day long? Is that all you do?
Yeah.
Because you're jealous.
That's what I mean. That's
and
like,
I say, yeah, I do want to be on Twitter. I mean,
no,
I do want 30,000 Twitter followers.
Thing.
Speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to follow Storyworthy, please do that at Storyworthy.
Yes. Storyworthy on Twitter. And also you can follow us on Facebook.
Okay,
and you can go to our Patreon ad as well.
Look at that. Why not just bring that up? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
StoryworthyPodcast.com. We've got this little Patreon thing.
Yes.
And that is ongoing support for the show.
It is.
Because as you know, we have a lot of fans. Is it, you know, every week I see the downloads. I know where you people are.
We know your
names. I'll knock on your window.
We know your search histories.
I know the pornography you listen to. I know where you listen, and I know what you're wearing.
Yeah, we have technology to go through your camera and watch you even if you think we can't. It's
I hear your conversations. I know what you want. But listen, folks, really, if you'd like to support the Storyworthy podcast, you can do that in so many ways. And I'll tell you the best way to do it is to just tell your friend, your coworker.
Yeah, just tell people.
You know what I'm listening to a lot of? Storyworthy. It's really great. You can listen anywhere. Stitcher, iTunes,
and
SoundCloud.
And if they're a narcissist, they'll be like, oh, you're listening to Storyworthy. Well, isn't that fantastic? You know what?
Speaking of narcissists, there's two more things I want to talk about.
Yes.
Two more qualities. One is exploitation. It can take many forms, but it always involves the exploitation of others without regard for their feelings or interests. This is the asshole part of narcissism.
Yeah. I don't think I do that.
No, you don't do that at all.
No.
This is like when you attack somebody.
That would require a lot of effort. So
look bad.
You know.
And here's one, and I think this is could involve tonight's story.
Okay.
By the way, My Father the Narcissist by Lori Fraser coming up in just a minute here. I have a feeling this involves her father. Bad boundaries. Narcissists do not recognize that they have boundaries and that others are separate and are not extensions of themselves. Others either exist to meet their needs or may as well not exist at all.
Right. Yeah, I've met plenty of people like that.
With no boundaries?
Yeah, and especially, of course, in the show business.
Yeah.
It's loaded with people with, like, boundary issues.
Give me an example.
You meet people, and like it said, like that description said, to them, the whole world is an extension of them. So, like, they're obsessed with their own careers and are talking to you as if – sometimes people in show business will just start talking to you about something and you have no fucking idea what they're talking about because they think you should know about it because it's them. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm always like, I'm not a mind reader. I don't know what you're talking about. It's like – and a narcissist will be like just having this conversation. It's in their head about something they want. And then they start talking to you as if you can hear the conversation in their head. It's like, what? I don't know about your show. I don't know about your play. I don't know about your – what are you doing? What are you talking about? This has nothing to do with me.
You want to watch my demo tape?
Yeah, you want to watch – you know. Or not even – no, not – because do you want to watch my demo tape is reasonable. Like, hey, you know, would you – but it's like
– no, the narcissist –
what do you think of my – you know, I just redid my demo tape. And here's what I did. I took this out and I put this in. And you're like, I don't even know you. I've never seen your demo tape. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But they assume that somehow you have seen their demo tape.
Yeah.
Because it's
But isn't there a healthy amount of narcissism? I mean, because I feel like in the world there are the hunters, the gatherers, and then the people that entertain, right?
Yeah.
I'm one of those people. I paint on the cave wall, as it were.
Yes.
As it were. And by cave wall, I mean my face and putting on makeup.
Right. And you paint over other people's paintings.
By like the way, I don't have any makeup on today at all, Hans.
Wow.
I forgot my makeup.
You forgot your makeup.
You can't even tell, can you?
But see, now that's anti-narcissism that you could forget your makeup, and that's good.
Really? Did you
a
hear that, Andrew?
Would never forget
Andrew
their
checked
makeup.
Out 10 minutes ago. I don't blame
oh,
him.
Andrew is playing Tetris on his computer.
Tetris.
He's paying no attention to us whatsoever.
He's playing Pong.
Yeah. He's planning world domination over there because he is
Hey, listen, you guys. This is going to be a good story because I'm telling you, Lori Fraser brings it, Hannes. She's always has a good story. And we're going to hear about it in just 2 seconds. So, folks, wherever you are, stick around because Lori Fraser's on her way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have writer-host Will Link.
And I'll be talking about my first, but not last, time at an S&M club.
That's next time on Storyworthy, you naughty, naughty ones.
Hey, this is Kevin Allison of the Risk Podcast, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Left of the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and traveled to the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul, Minnesota, the home of Prairie Home Companion. Because if there's one person on earth who's not a narcissist, it's Garrison Keillor.
Is that right?
Yeah, I went around a long way for that, but I enjoyed it.
Wouldn't you think, though, that anybody in the public eye, or that
you
puts themselves
so,
in the public eye,
like
has some amount of narcissism?
St. Paul, Minnesota, not Minneapolis. Minneapolis, you can be a narcissist. But St. Paul is the sister city and kind of like, don't look at me. It's okay. No, I'll be fine. And like that's what I'm thinking.
Huh. I don't know. All right, you guys, Lori Fraser is here.
You can't disagree with me. I'm right about everything.
Well, I just don't know
Son
a lot
of a
about
bitch.
That
and besides,
part of
which
the...
have you seen my demo tape?
I don't know that much about that part of the country.
It's just so demure and Midwestern and passive aggressive.
Right. So that's the thing, is passive aggressive, which is another form in a way of narcissism.
In a way, yes. It's like I'm too good to actually get into an argument with you.
Right.
Because I'm a good Lutheran.
Yeah.
And you are gonna burn in hell.
God,
Baptist.
I swear. And then I think
Catholic. Maybe I'm
a narcissist because I don't care about any of that. I just want to do my own thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's sort of
I think do your own thing is fine. I think where it gets in narcissism is when people are unable to conceive that other people don't care about their thing.
I see.
Like I don't – like people are doing – it's like, hey, you do what you want. I don't care about your thing. I'm doing my thing. A narcissist is like, how can you possibly not care about my thing?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
How is it remotely possible that you don't care about this?
So I'm you're the complete... opposite of that. I'm yeah, the opposite exactly. of a narcissist. All right, now all right. we get that cleared up. Okay, you guys.
You have many other problems. We do not have time. We need to have a separate podcast of Christine's neuroses.
Lori Frazier's here right now, you guys. She is a voiceover artist, but also she's a writer and a producer, and she has this show, Hannes, around town called I Love a Good Story.
Have you heard?
Have you seen the show?
I have heard this show. I haven't seen it yet.
Fanatic Theater on Sawtelle Boulevard.
Ooh, Sawtelle. I love Sawtelle just because of the street.
Interesting.
I don't know why I like it. Just sounds like something I should be eating.
Very close to
Venice. I'd like some chicken Sawtelle. And
no, that's
with a peanut sauce satay.
That's a Thai dish.
Never mind.
Anyway, so I Love a Good Story. It's here in Los Angeles, and she really gets some great performers there. And you can find more information at iloveagoodstory.com, and also you can find more information on her at lorifrazier.com. All right, folks, wherever you are, put your hands together for the one and only Lori Frazier.
It's not wrong for my dad to tell me about the woman that comes into his room and wants to have sex with him morning, noon, and night. It's not wrong for him to tell how she reached into his pants, got him excited, and then said, "You'll do." It's not wrong that his assisted living home has turned into planet porn, but telling me, his daughter, about it? Well, that's just wrong. Yes. Yes, she reached into my pants. Those are the words that came out of my dad's mouth. He's 87. Yep, she wants to have sex with me all day long. I told her I'm 87. I'd like to make it to 88. I have never heard my dad utter a cuss word, let alone anything sexual. There's three of us kids, and I swear it was the Immaculate Conception that put us on the planet. No talk of sex growing up. Oh, they were a handsome couple and looked sexy enough. The thing is, he put my sexy mother on a pedestal, but I don't think he ever went up to visit. Catch my drift? I used to tell her, if she had an affair, I'd drive her to the hotel. Now, suddenly, out of nowhere, I'm turning 50 shades of red as I drive my father, the Don Juan of assisted living, to Marina Del Rey for some fresh air. I want to eject myself right out of the sunroof. When I question him about the woman, he changes the subject. Who are you? Lori. Who are you taking? Hugo. Where are you taking him? The marina and Taco Bell. We go there a lot. We go to the harbor by the jetty. It's alive. The people, the boats, the planes taken off, the ocean, the dogs. Alive. With life. Unlike the assisted living place that my dad calls home, where death lurks, disguised as a hot meal or chair exercises with Vicky. Where everything's the same. The salutations. Hi, Hugo. How are you today? Are you fantastic? Fantastic. One of his most used words. Same, same, same. So we go to the same marina where we park in pretty much the same spot. And then everything changes. The view is different. The current's different. The dogs and the people are different. And my dad is the same and yet different. He tells me the same stories with the same intonations and usually laughs in the same spots, but it's new to him. He's so happy to be out. He's so happy to be telling me the same stories as we both look out at the active harbor. I'm almost a silent partner in my dad's life. I participate, but only as a gesture. I wish it was more, and yet it's okay how it is. My dad is the consummate narcissist. And if you've ever been with one, they are fantastic. It's the most fun ride because they live in the moment. And if you are sharing their moment, then there is no better place to be. Just don't leave to go to the bathroom because they may forget that you're there and leave without you. Once when I was little, we went to the Pomona Fair and he lost me in the first 10 minutes. Luckily, he found me at the end of the day and I had forgotten I was scared because we went and got pizza afterwards. And he told me stories about his wonderful day at the fair and the amazing people that he met. He always had stories about amazing people. Wow, look at that boat, Dad. I used to have a boat, says the narcissist. And then he goes into one of his boat stories. It was a Sloop 6, a racing sailboat, till I gave it to the Sea Scouts. And hey, Dad, were you ever in the service? Yes, I was in the Navy. And he goes into one of his Navy stories. We drive past the billboard with the guy in the tuxedo. I used to have a tuxedo. Yeah? Yes, I was on a cruise ship and I was standing in the dining room and a woman saw me in my magnificent tuxedo. She waved for me to come over to her. I thought she must want me. So I went over to her and she said, "Waiter, can we have some more rolls, please?" So what'd you do? I got her some more rolls. They're pretty good. So I put a couple in my pocket for myself. Sometimes I start a favorite song and he chimes in. My part. Oh, his part. It ain't gonna rain no more, no more. It ain't gonna rain no more. So how in the heck can I wash my neck if it ain't gonna rain no more? My part. Oh, his part. The rich man rides the automobile. The poor man rides the train. The hobo walks the railroad track. But they get there just the same. Oh. I take him back to his place. I sign him in. They keep a log. Name. Lori. Who are you taking? Hugo. Where are you taking him? Strip club and Taco Bell. He loves Taco Bell. He was a health fanatic for most of the years of my life, but he fell and he hit his head about 9 years ago. So was it the hit on the head? Or maybe a hairline stroke that none of us caught? Maybe a bit of dementia? Whatever it was, he's missing a few marbles. I want to be missing the same ones when I get to be his age. So one day, he started loving junk food. Still a vegetarian of 60 years, but he loves his Taco Bell tostada. So I pick him up the other day to go for a walk. Every time I go in there, I get sad, you know? The place reeks of old people wearing out their skin and what's left of their wit and wisdom, and I don't want him to be one of them. My mom died in there. He'll rot in there if someone doesn't take him out. Name, Lori. Who are you taking? Hugo. Where are you going? Bungee jumping and Taco Bell. I have to get past some of the characters sitting in the lobby. They're the ones that, for the most part, still have their minds. Oh, hello, dear. Are you going out? Oh, my God. Look at that hair. Just like his. Help me. Help me. Please. Help me. Oh, don't mind her. Do they have coffee ice cream where you're going? My dad thinks this place is wonderful. I'm happy for him. I'm about to explode. He looks at me and says, "You look fantastic." I almost faint. Compliments were very rare from my critical dad. Yous is gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. Like a parrot, he starts to go off. And I see he's looking at his reflection in the window. And I realize he's not even talking to me. He's just talking to hear himself talk. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Like a narcissistic parrot. He knows I'm there. And he probably loves me. But it's still all about him. I have to chuckle to myself on the inside, you know? Sometimes watching him is like watching a character in a movie. But it's not. And he's not. He's my dad. So he's a narcissist. He's genuine. And at this point, he could be a real shit to be around. But he's not. Who are you taking? Hugo. Where? Skydiving and Taco Bell. The latest is that he's become a little frisky with the woman at the home. That's what the manager tells me. She asks if I could perhaps get him some medication to take care of the problem. What are you, high? You think I'm going to give my dad something to squelch his virility when at 87 years old he still has it? So my dad's gotten a little frisky lately. She says some of the women were complaining. Oh, really? Please. They're probably complaining because he didn't choose them. My dad's one of the only guys in this joint that still has his hair, doesn't have a gut, and has a great disposition. I mean, the guy's always happy. And now I know why. There's a woman reaching her hands down his pants on a daily basis. Maybe they're not telling the truth. Well, she said, when I called him into the office to talk about it, he tried to put his hand up my skirt. The latest is that he's getting married. She's the richest woman in the Northern Hemisphere. Wow, Northern Hemisphere, eh? That's a lot bigger than Westwood. Yeah, she makes $10 million and I make two, so we won't starve. That's another thing. He thinks he's rich. He tells everyone, I have so much money, I won't live long enough to spend it. So he's created this full-on life that makes him perfectly happy. And that's why everything is wonderful and marvelous and fantastic. It's the fantasy life that he really always wanted, that every man wants, really. That's what 92-year-old June told me when I shared this story with her right after she wet her pants laughing. She's sending for me. Oh, so her chauffeur will be coming to get you? Yes. Well, you better write me a note. What? Well, if you leave, you better write me a note so I know where you're going, so I know where to bring your new socks and toothpaste and the goodies that I get for you. Oh, she has a huge staff. I won't have to worry about a thing. She just wants to have sex with me morning, noon, and night. What's her name? I don't know. You don't know her name? What's in a name? She's the richest woman in the Northern Hemisphere. Who are you? Who are you taking? Where are you going? Big game hunting in Taco Bell. Did they even check the log? Quick, Dad, get in the car before you get any more death dust on you. Is that Mother's car? Yep. What'd you do, steal it? Yep. I figured she won't need it. Yes, she's in heaven waiting for me. Yeah, well, don't get any wild ideas. I'm not going for another 10 years. You know, taking my dad out today did cramp my style. I had to sacrifice some of my very important day. And you know what? It was worth it. Even though he isn't all there some of the time, I'm here. An hour and a half with my dad is worth years that I didn't have with him. Years thanks to the late 60s, 70s, and part of the 80s when I wasn't all here.
Wow. Is your dad alive now?
He is.
How old is he now?
He's 88.
He's 88 years old.
Yeah.
Wow. And is this the same man that you just explained? Is this what you're seeing right now?
Just waiting for his wife to come get him with their chauffeur.
But so if you go... woman in the Northern Hemisphere. Yeah.
If you go visit him, is that going to be the same today? Would this be the same conversation?
It probably. He'll add a few more things. A few more things about... But it's always about him.
Yeah.
If I start a conversation, hey, Dad, he'll say, how's your friend Bill? And I'll say, well, you know, he's working. Well, I'm not working anymore.
And then he looks right past it. Right. He immediately turns it around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't matter what you say. You could say, Bill just got hit by a truck. Is that right? I had a truck
once.
Back in 78.
Absolutely.
And so he must be popular in the senior senior facility.
Yeah, they always say because the women outnumber the men in those places 10 to 1.
So the women are all there and there are few men.
Right. But for my father, you see, nobody's good enough. So he's all very critical. So, she's a nice woman, but the size of her.
Wow. And so how old are the people in the facility?
You know, some of them are young because they've had maybe something unfortunate's happened in their life and they can't take care of themselves. Anywhere's from in their 50s to in their 90s.
Hannes, you might like to live somewhere like that.
I'd like to live there now.
That's what I'm saying, because you like to be cared for, taken care of.
I like to be cared for. I'd like
one level.
Of course, reminds me of a Simpsons episode where Homer moves in to his dad's place, and he's like, this is the greatest thing ever. He's lying in bed, and the old guys are like, you have to get out of bed. They'll move me.
Right.
I like the sign on the door that says, please do not discuss the outside world.
Yes, exactly. No, I used to visit my old landlady, who, when I started renting from her in 2000, she was like 83. Eventually, she went into a pretty high-end place in Culver City. And so she's like 92, and she was from Wales, and she was a whack in World War II with the British, you know, all this stuff. But it's like you go into those places, and this was a high-end place she was in. It's still like there's people there that are just like – our technology's gotten ahead of us. It's like you're not supposed to be alive.
I know. It's very.
You're not supposed to be. Yeah. You're not having any fun.
That's intense.
You're not enjoying. Wait,
it
I know,
intense.
But you're not enjoying being alive.
Right.
You're just alive. And some people are, you know, and she was one. She was always in good shape.
I just don't know what you're talking about in terms of what's the alternative. I mean, I know
the alternative is the worst, but it's like. Still, like,
but, I mean, I'm thinking about like one level living. You have there's activities and things going on in the lobby, and there's meals.
No, I'm saying there are people who cannot. There are activities.
That's
they had the all this stuff.
That's in the program that they give you. That's in the beautiful glossy printout. Come to our place and put your dad here.
Yeah.
Right, but some of these people cannot even participate in those activities.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying.
How long was your dad married to your mom?
60 years.
60 years. Yeah. That's amazing.
It is, especially because when we
beautiful.
On their 60th wedding anniversary, we asked my mom, "What would you like?" And she said, "A divorce."
Did she really?
She's British, yes.
Yeah.
Your mother was British.
Yeah.
And you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I do.
And how?
And I have a brother and a sister.
Yeah.
Do they go take dad out or? Is
yeah.
It all
do they
you?
Take him out?
Sometimes they do. Yeah.
Do you still go to Taco Bell?
I still go to Taco Bell. I pick him up every Monday. We go out to the jetty. It's so lovely out there.
It is so lovely. I've gone paddleboarding around that jetty. It's so beautiful.
But I have to tell you something. There we are at the jetty. And there's so much action, But there's also a stripper being photographed for, I guess, a catalog or something.
Well, sure.
Is there a stripper catalog?
I think it's called
Yeah,
porn.
There are several.
No, I don't think it's
never porn. Mind, she never was, mind. I don't
but anyway,
have this information.
She was, I just know that for early, 9:30 in the morning, what is it, glittered red platforms and a fez in their
it's
hair.
It's LA, man.
It's just... Well, maybe you're right. Maybe she was a caregiver. I have no idea. Well, but all I know is my father was not even looking at the boats.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
was just
well, good
going,
for him.
Here's
taking
what
another
his two
sight.
Words. He says, that's nice.
Yeah.
I'd like to meet her.
Yeah.
I said, Dad, you're 88 years old. You're missing some teeth. He said, I'm a vegetarian. I don't need teeth.
Yeah. All right. All right. I like it. I like it. I mean, I know, I'm sure it must be overbearing to be with because he's not listening to you and anything you say.
Oh,
and
but
it's
after
never
all
about
this time,
you. But yeah, after all this time, it's almost like he's childlike and you're taking care of him.
You know what? And you know what? He's not dangerous.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. I made it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm here at Storyworthy.
Yeah.
Aww, okay. I have
so
something to show for myself. Okay.
You're so sweet. What did your dad do for a living?
He was a printer and he also was an inventor. He invented a product and it's out there in the world. And,
what is it?
It's called Amazing Tape.
Amazing tape.
Amazing
and what
tape.
Is this tape
And
do?
It's a glueless, no-stick wrap. And it's very strong.
So is it clear?
Clear. Mm-hmm.
And it sticks to itself.
Sticks to itself.
You know, I have this tape.
It's
kid
fantastic.
You not. I have in my closet. Go ahead, Hannes. Tell her what I have.
You have many bins filled with crafts and such things.
Good
and,
for you.
And labeled.
But they're
exclusive.
Labeled. And one is labeled.
Tape.
Tape.
Yeah.
I have a tape box.
Fabulous.
I enjoy different kinds of tape. I know what you're speaking of.
It's great
specifically
tape.
Good for, like, if you're trying to wrap up some...
Everything.
Yeah,
in
everything.
The
like a bag. Oh, in the
in
freezer.
The
I never thought of that.
In the, you can wash it.
Your
you can
dad
use
invented
it over
that.
And over again.
Well,
yeah.
No wonder why he's so great. And he's such a narcissist.
He is a narcissist.
He invented... Wait, what do they call the tape?
Amazing tape.
He invented amazing tape. Let's give this man some respect.
He is, yes. He is a delight. He's... It was... Tough growing up with a narcissist. Come on.
No, I can imagine.
Do you have either of your parents narcissists?
My father was very much so. Very,
okay.
Very much so.
It's
not
very...
as far, not as bad as your dad, but definitely everything is always great. How's it going, Dad? Great.
Fantastic.
But I also like the fact that my dad would look you in the eye, say hello, shake your hand, be straightforward, and have some confidence.
Yeah.
Whereas the other side of my family was more like what Hannes was talking about. Like, don't look at me. Why would you look at me? I don't need to be on Facebook. Why would he be on Facebook? I don't need to, you know, that whole thing. You know,
right.
You spend all your time online just playing with your friend, you know, socializing. It's like, well, yeah, that's exactly right. I'm a social person.
Right.
Yeah.
And it translates to the internet. But the point is so I like the confidence of the narcissist in terms of like, the you know, the big smile, bright energy.
But it's frightening if you're the child because he took us to the top of Mammoth and he said, now. Just, you just go like this. You just
skiing.
Like this and like this.
So you were
like,
downhill skiing.
Yeah. So it was like.
Did you get a lesson?
That was
that
the
was
lesson
it.
Was he said, go like this and
you
this.
Wait
well, that's
unwait.
Not safe.
You wait and unwait. You know,
no.
So it was
did
kind of
did he say
like,
open the pizza, close the pizza?
Oh, no. He never used the pizza technique. As a matter of fact, he took a boat out and he just put the hat on. And that was like he was captain, knew nothing about anything.
But, about boating,
but
yeah.
But he was sure that there would be, and for some reason, it was like Mr. Magoo. People were jumping ship, you know. They got used to, he bought a boat, he didn't know anything about boating, and he took it out. And when people saw the boat coming, they parted.
Clear out of the way,
so
that boat's coming
so what
through.
Happened was, the
Hugo Frazier is on the warpath.
It parts for the narcissist.
Yeah,
see, the
I see.
World parts for it. So we just
right, he doesn't understand
it.
People are running away from him.
Absolutely.
He thinks that they're making space
exactly.
for his wonder.
For his wonder.
Yeah. So I was just thinking that I wrote it down. The term originated from the Greek mythology where the young, what is it?
Narcissus.
Narcissus fell in love with his own image reflected in a pool of water. Did he drown? What happened
Yes.
Then?
He eventually, he's watching his own, I can't remember if he drowned or he starved to death. He could not stop looking at his own reflection in the water.
Oh,
I believe he falls in.
See, my father would step to the side, take the person next to him, and go, look at that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's
amazing.
Also a level of honesty, though, with narcissists. I know my father would always say, like, you know, I don't like kids. I never did. You know, I don't like kids. I like adults. You know, like a very blatant
honesty. It's funny because I like kids and I can't stand adults.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm the exact same. I'm exact opposite.
You like dogs and you don't
like dogs and children and adults.
So what does that say about you,
Well, because
That I am a child at heart.
Doesn't
I'm a dog at heart.
You're a dog at heart?
Well, in that you've had haven't you have things where you can't – I mean, adults have betrayed you in their trust, haven't they? I mean, if you can't even believe what they say.
We're getting down to it. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty.
No, I mean
– I got a lot of nitty-gritty. That doesn't – the betrayal doesn't sound right. No, what I had was two parents, neither of whom had actually grown up into actual adults.
So you had to
be the parent. They were supposed to be adults, and they were both – incredibly childish for various different reasons.
Okay.
So that, yes, that now forces that, upon me the adult role, which I was never good at, and now I'm even worse at now that I'm a really old adult.
I understand that because that's the same. I had to be the parent because when you're a narcissist, you're not really taking care of anything except the mirror, you know, wiping it, make sure it's clean.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I know. There are so many – I think there's a gigantic amount of adults who – never grow up and force their kids to grow up early.
Right.
It seems to me like that's almost an epidemic, maybe of baby boomers who are our parents, who were so self-involved, and so the beginning of that idea of like everybody, you know, this like you, every single one of you can be special. No, every single person is not special.
Right.
George Carlin always said this best, but it's like you look at any group, it's like there's a couple of winners. And a whole bunch of losers. That's it. It's like, no, it's like you are not, and we're still doing this today. People are complaining about, you know, telling kids, it's like, you know, there are no winners. You all get a ribbon for participating.
Yeah.
No, you lost.
Yeah, exactly.
You lost. You have to learn how to live. If you don't learn how to live with being, not being the one person out of 40 who ran the track, you know, you ran a race, one person won. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 39 people lost.
And then why would the person even want to win if everybody else behind him is going to get a ribbon anyways? I might as well just slow down and get a ribbon.
And life,
what
and
about
life
the birthday
moves
party?
On. Yeah, what about the birthday
yeah,
party?
It's a happy birthday. Well, how come everyone gets a present?
Oh, come on now.
No. Hey, that's right. If it's my birthday, I get presents and the rest of you can wait your fucking turn.
You get a cupcake, damn it.
Yeah.
And you don't have a candle in yours.
Lori Fraser, here's a question.
All right.
You do a lot of storytelling around town here in Los Angeles, and you've been running I Love a Good Story for 5 years?
10 years.
10 years, for goodness sake.
So many years.
No, 10 years, really, and it's on a consistent basis, once a month.
And now it's gone to bi-monthly because I like to tell stories around town. I don't know how you keep up and do this.
I don't know.
So much.
I don't know how I do either.
You are amazing.
Tell me again. I didn't hear that.
You are amazing.
Tell her how amazing she is.
And
tell
so
her.
I want to ask you, what
tell
do you
her.
Think makes a good story?
I think makes a good story. Okay. Are we interested? Would you be interested in the story that you're telling if I was telling it to you and you'd never heard it before?
Mm-hmm.
Are the characters interesting? Why do we care? I want to care about your story one way or the other. I want to care enough to keep listening.
Yeah.
That makes a good story.
And when do you know somebody is going off track? Or, you know, when you're hearing a story and all of a sudden you think like, this is not working.
When the track changes and all of a sudden now you're telling another story and then it changes again and now you're telling another story. So what happens is you're building a tree with all these branches and by the time it blooms, you know, we're as old as the trunk.
That reminds me of a time. I went to a storytelling show. I won't say the name of the storytelling show. But this person got up there and they told eight stories. They told eight stories. Here's this story about how I did this thing. And that happened – that went on for 3 minutes, which then led to a story about how they did a different thing.
Then
a different thing. And it never
– Yeah.
It wasn't like I'm going to go up – you know, Mort Saul,
yeah,
the famous
comedian?
He would do this thing. He would call it Russian – you know, the Russian dolls where there's a big one, the smaller
stacking.
One, smaller, smaller.
Uh-huh.
He would start a story – and we go to another story. But then he would always get to the last one and come back and then finish each story and bring them together because he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
But
now,
the person
you know
I'm
what?
Talking about is just desperately
just
talking
meanders.
To fill the air.
Yeah, right. I see.
And they never finish the first, second, third, or fourth story. And they just end up on a fifth story, which is probably the one they should have told in the first place, but now you wasted 20 minutes of our time getting to it.
Now, there's a few people in town do that, but the best person that can tell – a story that, like you're saying, it's not – he can change tracks 100 times, but he makes a loop. He never drops, picks up everything, and at the end tells a nice little bow, and that was me. Rest in peace, Taylor Negron.
Taylor Negron,
Yeah, he knows. He did it on purpose.
20 minutes, an hour.
Remember when we saw him at Muse in October?
Yes.
And I told a story about sleeping with some guys in college. And when I got off stage, I never met Taylor Negron. Right. I told this story before. I never met Taylor Negron in my life. And the first thing he said to me was, "So who are you fucking now?" He's so funny. Oh, he was the best.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so he had a way that really can do that. It's a talent.
It is.
Yeah, and people see, and then some people would watch that and think, oh, that's how you tell a story, not realizing the amount of effort
Absolutely.
That went into being able to go off track yeah. and come back and tie it
it's
all
nice
together.
It's nice to be like, in Los Angeles right now because there's a really good scene going on with
it's
storytelling.
Huge. Yeah.
It's like comedy in the 80s. It's storytelling in the – what are we in? What are we in? 2015.
We're past the aughts.
We're in the
teens, late teens. I guess. We're in the teens. We're in the mid-teens.
This is exciting. The 21st century
teens. This is crazy. We're almost up to like – before we know it, it'll be 2020. What the hell?
What the hell?
Hey, Lori, you want to play some Shotgun Story Ready?
Sure.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Okay, passport. All right, passport. Woo! Okay. I'll just tell you about my passport. I got it finally, and right before I had 2 days to get my passport before I went to India. I was very, very organized, and I not usually organized. And with the help of a friend of mine, I had gotten organized. And right, I was so happy with myself. I showed up, and the girl that was organizing the trip said, "You didn't send me your passport." And I went, "Oh, no worries. Here you go, and I'll just make it." She said, "Well, it's expired." "What?" "Well, it's expired." And I, so I, you know, got on the internet and looked how do you for expired passports, and it had all kinds of people. I went to the first person, and it was this place in Beverly Hills. I went right to Beverly Hills, and the man told me he was an Indian man, so I thought, it's perfect. This is a blessing. And he said, "You know, I can help you, but it will be $225. "What? What? $225. So I didn't, you know, I needed $225 for, like, snacks on the trip. So I went ahead and I got my passport, $225, and then turned out after this whole thing, he thought it was very funny. He was not from India at all. He was an actor. And he had been putting on this whole accent to try to, like, make me feel so good and make me, you know, it was like a trust thing or whatever. I don't know. And synchrenicity. And I ended up, I got to India. And then when I got home, I had found, I don't know what came over me, but apparently I had got, this had happened to me before with an expired passport, and I'd got another one, and my passport that I couldn't find was still good until 2 years from today. So there you go.
All right, all right. Okay, so that's the way you play Shotgun Storyworthy. However, where did she fail there, Hannes? I'm just saying.
She did go over a minute.
Oh, over God. A minute.
And, you know, that's not a bad thing, but you're not going to be able to take the car home.
Damn it.
You're not. You didn't win the
Can
car
Can I take
today.
The lighter?
No, the lighter is
I'm
yours.
I'm going to light myself on fire right here. Because
no, listen, why did you wait? What do you mean you planned a trip to India, but you didn't think I need a passport? How old were you?
No, I was... Never mind. I was over 21.
Okay, but you didn't notice it expired.
Yeah, I just thought. Except no, of course, I have one.
It turned out you had one that wasn't expired.
I did
expired.
Have exactly. one.
So it was a brief.
Oh, that is so
fart.
Frustrating. So you had two passports to begin with.
Well, no, I had one, and this had happened before. It's like I think.
Oh
there
my
was a,
gosh, Lord!
But I think that people who don't use their passport frequently, and there was a time when I was using mine frequently, but now I haven't used it in a long time, and I'm. Sure, it's expired and I need a new one, but you forget it unless you're traveling internationally a lot.
Right.
You really do forget about it.
Yeah.
You don't
I guess
think
I just think I just think
there.
I just think when
happened.
You plan international travel, one of the first things you do is just look for your passport and look at it Just look at it. I'm just saying before 2 days before the trip.
Okay, but look, you know what? Listen. Did look at it, but I have to tell you something. I am my father's daughter, and I looked at the picture, and I have a feeling that the picture was so crappy that I got another picture taken, and that's what – and so that – sent the passport for, you know, because it was, I wanted a new
picture. You wanted a new picture.
So I can remember.
I had to get a new picture for my passport because I remember I had to get, I was going overseas and I had just gotten out of chemotherapy. I was totally bald and had to get my passport picture taken.
Yeah.
And I was so bummed. So when I got hair, I had it retaken.
I remember getting a passport and it was first time it was good for 10 years.
Yeah.
And the expiration date was 2001. And I was like, whoa, I can't even comprehend
that exactly.
This passport was good until 2001. So, and now it's 2015.
Tell me about your trip to India just briefly.
Well, now I'm nervous. I think I better go get a passport.
No, how many times did you go to India?
Yeah, you don't know what could happen.
I just went to India one time.
One time. And how long did you go for?
I traveled a lot, but one time.
Yeah.
I went for a couple of 3 weeks. I went from India, and then I went to Thailand. I went to a few places. But I was in India and I was in a lot of places in India, but mainly I was in Varanasi.
I see. And tell me, what is life changing about India? Because I have a trip planned to India coming up here in late spring. And so I'm planning to get some good stories. That's the plan.
I'll tell you one thing about India.
Tell me.
I think that everyone would agree. India is in your face. Everything happens at the same time. It's like here, but there's no walls. So take every wall down that separates you and your privacy or whatever you're doing. If you're going to the bathroom, if you're dying, if you're having a wedding, just take them all down. Put everybody together and throw in some water buffaloes and some cows.
But there is infrastructure. I mean, there are buildings.
Yes, but if you are from here and you go to India, you will think, where's the infrastructure? Okay.
I see.
Yeah, there are buildings and everything else, and there's beautiful places in India. The Taj Mahal has an infrastructure, you know.
Yeah, I'd say.
But there's just – it's very in your face, and the people are – and it's radical. The people either have beautiful pearly white teeth or rotted pointy ones because they can't afford – dentistry.
Right, right.
Some people have never seen their reflection as in a picture. They've never seen a picture. They've never seen their reflection, only maybe from a mirror. My dad would not survive in India. But it's incredibly wonderful and horrific and fantastic. And there's no
I'm
subtleties.
Not going, by the way, in case anyone's wondering if I'm going. Never going.
It's just, and I would say you will be changed forever.
Okay.
And I'd also say it takes about a year to assimilate what you saw. And it was wonderful. I'll go back sometime, but I have to be ready.
Well, we will be recording in May when I get back. And then those will be some interesting stories, maybe.
Your metaphor of there are no walls finally explained something to me. As listeners know, I work at a major theme park here in Los Angeles. And what will happen with Indians, particularly older, the grandmother Indian of the entire family who has she's got the sari on. Somebody will be taking a picture with SpongeBob SquarePants, a family of four blonde people. And grandma will just walk in and stand in this photograph to have her picture taken with SpongeBob SquarePants, despite the fact not only is she interrupting some complete strangers, but also her picture will be her four people that she's never met and will never, ever meet. So the picture will be her, a bunch of strangers, and a guy dressed as SpongeBob SquarePants. And this happens all the time.
Crazy. Yeah.
Just like not even – it's not even rudeness like, okay, I'm just racial profiling. The Chinese will just go and cut in front of people. They'll cut in front of people. This is different. This is like I do not care who else is in this photograph – as long as me and SpongeBob are in it.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like this very weird, it's like you don't even understand why would you want this picture?
But that could be, I think, though, Hannes, that could be an American too. I mean, because the Indian people are a really beautiful people, and they'll come, like, for example, on the Ganges, they will come up and they'll ask you for something, but if you say no namaste or whatever, then they you know, will go away. But it's what you're talking about is because there's no walls, they just don't have any sense.
It's not occurring to this woman that it's weird to
there's
take
no
a picture with
space.
Strangers.
There's no personal space.
It's not even according to her.
Yeah, she doesn't feel
any boundaries.
She's
not trying to be
literally.
Rude.
Right.
See, she's not trying to be rude.
Right.
It doesn't occur to her that her being in a picture is going to spoil someone else's photo.
Right.
And that
right.
other people in her photo are spoiling her photo.
Right.
She's that like, oh, my
and,
God,
yeah.
there's only seven people in this
right.
photo. This is the least populated photo I've ever been in my life. This is amazing.
That and you're a racist.
I'm not a racist. I'm a racial profiler. This is set different.
Hey, listen, thank you so much for recording with us today, Lori. You're
thank
such
you.
A pro, really.
Thank you
you're
so much for having me.
I love
and you're
your
very
stories.
Complimentary.
I love,
you.
Love, love hearing you around town.
You guys are
great.
Wonderful. Well,
thanks,
I love being
we
here.
We really,
really
are wonderful.
It.
It's fantastic how awesome we are. Have you seen my reel? Have you
seen it? Everybody here at Sideshow Network, especially Sean Merrick and Andrew Stephen. Thanks, Andrew. You're just getting better and better at your job, may I just say, Andrew. Where's right. your microphone? I thought you were going to have a mic.
I can have a mic if you'd like.
Is that? I like that. I like Mike, and
you
I
like
that you
mic.
Have a mic.
There you go.
He was so deep into his Tetris that he doesn't even – it's like the show over. Did it end?
Okay. And, of course, on behalf of John Thomas Griffith, you know, he wrote the theme song to Storyworthy. It's called Follow Me.
I refuse to fuel his narcissism of talking about himself and his hat and his.
He and I went and saw Lucinda Williams last weekend, and let me tell you something. That was a good show.
Oh, she's
where was that?
She's amazing at the Regent Theater downtown LA. Amazing.
Regent Theater. I don't know where that is.
It's amazing. And on behalf of our storyteller today, Lori Fraser, thank you again so much for coming. And on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
That you can.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.